595 Coleman's Independent Radio. Music there from U2, and that's called New Year's Day. It's 4 o'clock. Hi, everybody. I'm Jay Fuller. It's WRJMLP Coleman, otherwise known as Live 95. It's Tuesday, the week of, so we probably have more listeners now than we've ever had before. But it's time for our sports show that we do every Tuesday and Thursday right here on Sports Talk Live. I think I screwed that up again. The station is called Live 95. The name of the show is called Sports Talk Live. It's brought to you in part every week by People's Bank. They sponsor the segment known as Where's Moolah. If you would like to be a sponsor of Live 95 or of Sports Talk Live or of Friday Night Live, send us an email to studio at Live 95. How many times can you say 95 in one sentence? Studio at Live95Coleman.com. And now here are your hosts for Sports Talk Live, Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes.
Thanks, Jay, and welcome everyone back, as Jay has already said, to the Tuesday edition, Ronnie, and got a lot planned today.
Yes, we do. I hope everybody had a good weekend out there. A lot of folks tuned in, and hey, call your buddy and tell them to turn the radio on.
That's right. This is the week that we've been waiting on, we've been talking about, and it's finally here.
Finally arrived. This is a kickoff week of college football.
Oh, man, it don't get any better than this unless it cools off. And
yeah, that's right.
It won't be long until we'll have that with us, too. But, man, it don't get any better than this. The week of, the ESPN has the SEC network now. Everything's good.
Everybody's got it.
So we are ready to roll. Alabama and Auburn kicking it off Saturday. South Carolina, Texas A&M Thursday night. And speaking of Thursday night, Ronnie, tell everybody.
Thursday night's going to be a huge night. We're going to be at Grumpy's down in the sports bar area. We're going to be there from 4 until 7 o'clock. So tell everyone you know to come by, see us. Let us know you're there. I think Jason had made the deal, or I guess I joined in with him. But if we can have somewhere around 45 people or so there, we will take the ice bucket challenge, Jason and I will. So, hey, tell all your buddies to come join us there for a good evening of, you know, something to eat, something to drink, talk about some football, and, of course, then watch, you know, Texas A&M and South Carolina play. They start at 5 o'clock Central Time.
So they will be kicking it off while we're on the air, so we'll talk some about that. And, Ronnie, it's going to be a great night, as you've already said. A lot of things planned, and we've already got some people. I've sent out invitations on Facebook. Most people do like I do and don't ever even see those things, but we're getting a pretty good response to it.
Great. It's not a private party only.
No, private party.
Talking about an invitation. Is this kind of like a wedding?
No.
If it is, I hope they bring us a gift.
Speaking of gifts, there will be a ton of giveaway items, but you have to be present to win. We won't be taking any calls Thursday night. Going to be just dealing with the people that's there.
That's it. So those folks that are regular callers like Tally and Sheila and Cindy and Eddie, sorry, no call in. You're just going to have to come and join us and see what you can win there. Of course, Cindy, I would assume Cindy will be there if there's something to win, Cindy's going to be there with bells on.
Hey, speaking of Cindy, and we'll go on talking about Thursday night, but speaking of Cindy, folks, I've had two or three people that think they know where Moolah is located. So if you want some of that People's Bank money, call
free
us
money.
Right now. The next 15 minutes, we'll say, or until the next break, call us. Let us know where you think Moolah is. If you're correct, claim $75.
And you don't. It's not a loan from People's Bank. It's a freebie from
People's
Bank.
That's free. Right. You don't have to figure the interest on that.
That's it. Hey, and the phone number is 737-9951. If you think you know where Moolah's hidden, give us a call. Take your best shot at it and see if you can win $75.
Okay, Thursday night, Ronnie, just to fill people in on some of the things we're going to have going. Out on the deck, those of you that have been there probably know it, Grumpy's has a large deck. And out on the deck,
that's one of the biggest decks I've seen.
I'm telling you, it is great. A lot of people can get out there.
A lot of people climb aboard that.
That's right. They get out there and
they didn't even play a game on it.
They're going to be cornhole.
Cornhole
will be out on the back deck. And we'll try to have a tournament maybe before the night's over. But in the meantime, you can get out there and play a game or two. Inside, we will have trivia for prizes. It's not just answer a question. And pat on the
something.
Back. That's right. It'll be to win something. And got some pretty good prizes. Compliments of Conway Trucking and People's Bank. And for the first time, hopefully if everything goes as planned, Sports Talk Live t-shirts will be on site.
That's so, it.
If they don't come through, I don't know what we're going to do. Maybe we can take a
get us a Sharpie and we can draw one.
But a lot of stuff to give away, a lot of things. We'll be releasing our first high school football rankings. And next week, we will be crowning the People's Bank once again, People's Bank Player of the Week.
Right. It's, high school football season's here as well in full swing this weekend. You know, of course, we had a couple of local teams that played this past weekend. I know we'll get more into that later. But this weekend, this Friday night, basically everybody is kicking it off for high school football.
Right. And I tell you what, let's go ahead and tackle that while we're talking about high school football. The Bearcats, losers for the first time on their opening night since 2004, right in.
10 years since they've lost an opening game.
Right. And I tell you, I was surprised as many were by that. I mean, that one kind of shocked me.
Yeah, it did me too. You know, I would have picked Coleman to have beaten Arab, but, you know, they've pretty handled them pretty well in the previous years. But, you know, we all know every year is different. And sometimes, you know, talent's up, sometimes talent's down, sometimes clubs you normally have beaten. You know, they're much improved. I know Arab, they have a new coaching staff over there, probably played a big part in it, may have gotten some kids out that they have not had to outplay them before, and I think that was the case actually with their quarterback. He hadn't played since junior high, I believe, and I think he was kind of similar, maybe a little bit, of course I'm not comparing him to, but his style was kind of like a Johnny Manziel, you know, it's kind of like playing in the backyard, so
right.
That's very difficult to defend, but... you know, again, that's not a region game. That's the first game of the season. You know, there's 9 more regular season games to go. So I expect, Coach Britton and the staff there, they'll get things turned around and on the track that they would prefer to be on.
Right. And from what I've been able to gather of the game, didn't see the game, but from what I've been able to gather, compliments of Coleman Sense, and we'll talk more about Coleman Sense in a bit, but it was a game plagued by penalties for the Bearcats, and 2 touchdowns in the first quarter coming off of 4 major penalties by the Bearcats. Mm-hmm. So that's something you get straightened out after the first game. And
you probably see, you know, you hope you see more of that early in the season, and as the season goes on, you kind of get those things taken care of, a little house cleaning or housekeeping, so that you don't have those penalties that, you know, that can get you beat and, you know, apparently, that's kind of what may have happened to him.
And, yeah, Ronnie, a couple of those penalties were the kind of penalties, I guess, as a coach that really get under your skin. 2 personal foul penalties.
Oh, my goodness. That's 30 yards right there.
And so if you're marching those off, it don't take long to get down the field.
No, it doesn't take long to get down the field, does it? So,
and correct me if I'm wrong, Cold Springs, a big winner.
Cold Springs was. They sure were. They were a big winner. And, you know, Coach Elliott was in here with us, and you could tell when you talked to him that he really likes his club. He thinks they're going to have a good football team, and he kind of made it obvious there, or they kind of made it obvious right there, you know, last week as they defeated Brilliant in their season opener. And then I think they have Danville this week, so, you know, might be a little bit more challenging this week. I don't know. But Coach Elliott is certainly excited about the club he has.
Yeah, Cold Springs coming off a 6-4 record last year, and so they've opened it up on the winning side this time. Just looking at the screen here, and we've got someone. And who else
who
would you guess?
I cannot imagine who else would call with a guess.
So
you want to take bets that she knows it?
She said the screen, I'm going to read this out, wanted to guess Moolah, but wanted to let someone else take a shot first, so she declined for now. We'll call back.
My goodness.
And so she must be pretty confident that she's got the right spot.
Yeah, and nobody else does.
Hey, Cindy, you want to make sure, because one guess per show. One guess per show, so make sure you've got it. Nobody else has called in. I did have Cindy and 2 others over the weekend sent me messages on Facebook wanting to take a stab at it. and I told them no, that they would have to call back during the show.
Right.
And so the other two may not call, and it may be free pickings for Cindy.
Right. Well, you know, if nobody wins it tonight, we'll get, you know, I guess, I would assume, will we play that Thursday?
Yeah, we'll play it at Thursday.
But you can't call in.
That's right.
You have to be there.
Somebody there could pick up $75. And who knows?
Hey, that even if nobody's won, that's reason enough to come.
Right.
If you have a shot in the dark at winning $75 plus, the more clues that are given, you know, the more it's going to kind of narrow it down to a degree.
And won't know until Thursday night. So you have to be there to even know if this is going to happen or not. Possibility that Moolah would be hanging out around Grumpy's Thursday night, hidden somewhere in Grumpy's.
Even if we have a winner tonight?
Yeah, even if we have a winner tonight or even if we don't have a winner tonight.
So really what you're saying is we're going to play Where's Moolah Thursday
at
Grumpy's.
Where's Moolah would be like hunting Easter egg.
Hey, just don't have to die.
That's right.
You don't have to get that down your hands.
back to Coleman, Ronnie. Looking at their schedule. It doesn't get any easier from
here. No,
the,
it doesn't.
The Bearcats has got a tough road to hoe.
They do. They've got a tough schedule. You know, their region has changed. They've moved up from 5A to 6A, you know, now that the state created a seventh classification or a super class. I heard it called several things. But it's basically that's the largest 32 schools in the state are in that super class, class 7. And then basically what happened is if you were 5A, you went 6A. If you were 4A, you went to 5A. That's kind of what happened to a lot of schools. But this Friday night, Coleman has Etowah at Etowah. You want me to go through the
Let's
season?
Just run down the schedule and see.
Okay, they've got Etowah at Etowah, and that's not a region game. So you want to win all of them. Everybody wants to win all the games, but if you've got to pick and choose, you certainly want wins in your region. Because that's what's going to get you the playoffs. These other games don't have any bearing whatsoever on whether you make. Well, it might if it comes down to tiebreakers. Let me say that. After Etowah, then they have Florence at home. Then they're at Austin. That's on the road. That's a region game. Austin's in Decatur. Florence is also a region game. Then they have Fayette County. The next region game is Athens at Coleman. Then they have Hartsell, which is a region game at Hartsell. That's always a huge game for Coleman. Big, big rivalry. Then they have Decatur at home. That's region. Then they have Muscle Shoals away. That is region game. And then their last game is of the regular season is not a region game, but it is Russellville. And, you know, Russellville may have been down a little the last year or so. I'm not even sure about that, but, you know, tradition-wise, Russellville is a good, sound, solid football team.
Last year, Coleman beat Russellville 30-7. Did you say Muscle Shoals on that schedule?
They have Muscle Shoals. That is their last. That is October the 24th. That's the ninth game, and that's their last region game.
The Bearcats lost to Muscle Shoals 47-7 last year.
Yeah.
So.
Muscle Shoals, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Jason, Muscle Shoals got beat in the state semifinals by Hoover to get to the final. So
you
would assume they're going to be pretty strong again.
Right.
You know, normally do you not completely drop off the face of the map, you know, after you've had a great year and then just a horrible year, but
unless you're Auburn and win the national championship,
that's right.
Off the mile.
That's right. But, you know, that doesn't happen all that much. So, but that is Coleman's schedule just in a flash.
Ronnie, looking at Cold Spring, you've got Cold Spring schedule. Who would their upcoming game be?
Yeah, next, this Friday night, they have Danville away.
That's a very winnable game.
That's a winnable game. Then they have Southeastern. That's a region game at home. Then they have Tanner. That's a region game away.
That will be a tough one.
That's where you can measure yourself right there. If you're in 2A, you can measure yourself against Tanner to see what kind of club you have. Then they have Fauntville. That's another region game at home. And I think I'm almost positive Fauntville won pretty big last week. My understanding is they've got a pretty solid team. Then they have Vinemont at home. Of course, that's not region. Addison, that's a region game. That's away at Addison. Next region game, Summerton Christian, at Summerton Christian. And then their last
region game is Tarrant at home, and then they finish the season up on the road with the Holly Pond Broncos.
So I see several wins for Cold Springs.
I think so. I think there's several wins there, and there's you know, a few that's going to challenge them. And right. Every club needs to be challenged.
What do you think? You talked about the classifications earlier. What's your thoughts on going to 7 classification? Where does this stop? Do we keep increasing it?
Yeah, you want, you know, when you and I were in school, it was 4.
Right.
And if you made it to the playoffs, you know, you had in football, you had to win your, it was area then, usually in 4 team areas. You know, you had to win your area. There was no runner ups or any of that kind of stuff. Right. I mean, you could, you know, theoretically, if you finished, you could finish 9-1 for the season, not make playoffs if the team who won the region went undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, yep. What I'm saying? I mean, you could. There were a lot of teams that had great records that never ever made the playoffs. When we, you know, back when we were in school, right. 4A and 4 classifications, and then they expanded it to 6 classifications. It's that for many, many years. And now I think the biggest complaint was Jason, your very, very large schools like your Hoovers, maybe Spain Park, some of those very large schools in Birmingham, maybe the Montgomery area, were competing against, you know, they've got, you know, 2,200 to 2,500 students. And then the same people in that same classification may have only had, you know, I'm just going to throw a number out there, 800 students, you know, that they used to determine your classification. So they were saying there's such a huge discrepancy with that. So if you were on the lower tier of that 6A, you're never going to be able to compete. So what they now have done is taken the largest 32 schools, high schools in the state, and put them all in one classification. Now, you know, it kind of goes, now if you're number 32, you know, right. It may be hard. No matter how you divide it up, there's going to be some people.
And it's just a simple fact of life. Everybody's
right.
Not going to make it to the playoffs. Everybody's not going to be state champions.
And it's, you know, it's not peewees where right. Everybody gets to play a certain amount of time and everybody gets a trophy.
And folks, it's, some people are going to cringe when I say this, but it's a lot easier now to make it to the state tournament than what it was when there were 4 classifications.
Oh, well, sure.
If you don't believe it, I went to Cold Springs. To make the state tournament at Cold Springs would now be the equivalent of winning your first game at Wallace. If you won your first game at Wallace, you would have been in the state tournament
right.
at that time
right.
with 7 other teams, making 8 teams from each division.
That's exactly right. So it is, it's much, much more difficult
right.
to get to, you know, the now they call it the, I think, the road to the final 48 or something, you know, because each team has 6, you know, each school representing, or there's 6, what I'm trying to say, there's 6 teams in each classification,
right.
That's what I'm trying to say, of boys and girls.
So make it easier and easier. I mean, no doubt it's not easy to get there.
No, it's not.
But it is easier than it used to be.
Yeah, so. It is. And a lot of that, Jason, has to do with the fact that it brings in extreme revenue.
Right.
The revenue,
oh, yeah, money drives
it does. So. If you go down to the regionals down at Wallace, you're lucky sometimes to get a seat. And it's that way for basically the whole time that the regionals
are
there.
Yeah.
So, you know, in there are several regions through the state. Of course, I think Wallace, every year, they have the largest market. They bring in more money at Wallace than they do any of the other regions. But it is a huge moneymaker, you know, for the Athletic Association.
That. Hey, folks, we're coming up against a break. When we come back, something that Ronnie and I haven't even talked about that I'm going to throw at him for the first time and let you be thinking about it at home. What's your thoughts, and you can think about this during the break, Ronnie.
I'm going to need
What's your thoughts on paying Little League baseball players to be on ESPN for the Little League World Series? That has come up, and so it's now being discussed.
Oh,
so,
goodness.
Folks, think about that. We're going to get out of here for just a minute for a break. We'll be right back. The number, if you know where Moolah is, 256-737-9951. We'll be right back.
Dream girl, dream girl, dream girl. Miracle Luster Cream Girl.
Tonight, show him how much lovelier your hair can look after a Luster Cream shampoo. Only Luster Cream brings you Kay Dumit's magic formula blend of secret ingredients plus gentle lanolin. Gives loveliness lather even in hardest water. Glamorizes your hair as you wash it. Luster Cream, not a soap, not a liquid, but a dainty cream shampoo. Leaves hair fragrantly clean, free of loose dandruff, glistening with sheen. Soft, manageable. Gives new beauty to all hairdos or permanents. 4-ounce jar, $1. Smaller sizes, either tubes or jars. Tonight, try Luster Cream Shampoo and be a dream girl, beautiful Luster Cream Girl. You owe your crowning glory to a Luster Cream Shampoo.
And now Toby Reed with a word of something that is really a matter of life and death. And that is, Toby?
A blowout, Walter.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, a blowout in one of the tires on your automobile. Did you ever stop to think that if you're driving at today's top speed of 35 miles an hour and the blowout swerves your car into an oncoming truck, which travels at the same speed, the resulting crash has a force of 70 miles an hour. Now that's enough to double you right over the steering wheel and push the engine through the dash. Yet there is actually no need for a blowout to throw your car out of control. Not if the car is equipped with Goodyear lifeguards. For the lifeguard is an inner tire, a two-ply safety tire within a tube. It replaces the conventional inner tube, and if your outer tire and tube blow, the inner tire of the lifeguard remains inflated, holds the car steady so you can come to a sure, safe stop. That's the kind of blowout protection your family needs, and such sure protection it is that never once has a lifeguard been reported to fail. Never once. Think it over. Ask your Goodyear dealer if he has any of the few lifeguards now available. If so, equip your car with lifeguards, which are now ration free. For remember, when your tire blows out, the Goodyear lifeguard never lets you down.
Welcome back. 4:21 on Sports Talk Live, and during the commercial break, Runny has now placed his eyes back in their sockets as he had not heard of the Little League payment. Running, no. What they're basically saying is ESPN and everyone involved is making a ton of money off of the Little League World Series. Now, the thought is the expense of traveling and going to the game for the parents and the kids and the coaches and the teams, I don't know how expensive it is, but they're saying the expense should be covered in some type of payment to the teams or to the kids and their families or whatever. So what's your thoughts?
I think that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. It's one thing to have a discussion about paying college athletes, but now we've brought it down all the way down to a 10, 11, 12-year-old, right. Something like that. I mean, does it ever end? So now, if they start having a T-ball World Series, are we going to pay 5-year-olds too? I mean, you going to put money in a trust fund for them? They can't touch it till they're 18. I think that's absurd. First of all, you know as well as I do, there's going to be hands in that pot that are not supposed to be in that pot, and the money it's not going to get to every parent. You're just going to randomly say, okay, we're going to give each parent $1,000 to,
right. Okay. I don't know the amount of money they're talking about.
The logistics of that. What if you have a husband, the mom and the dad are divorced and they've remarried? So then instead of that kid getting $1,000, are they going to get $2,000 to cover the dad's expenses and the mom's expenses?
Yeah, I don't know. It would, open a can of worms. I don't know how they would get the lid. If I'm ESPN, I do in this situation is say, okay,
we won't broadcast it.
If you want it covered, we'll be glad to cover it.
That's right.
We're not going to pay anybody.
No, we're not. And I don't blame them at all.
How many people would give their right arm or their left arm to have their kid
in the world
on ESPN in front of millions of people?
Sure. That's the pinnacle to me of baseball. Yeah, I mean, for a kid, I mean, to being able to play in the World Series, right. as a little leaguer, I mean, that has to rank up there with being a major league player, would it not?
Yeah.
Especially at that age.
But it's not only that. Everything now is backed up to earlier ages. And we got a caller that I think is going to take a guess at Moolah, but We'll talk about moving things back, trophies, certificates, and so forth. Let's go to the caller. We've got David on the line wanting to take a shot at Moolah. David, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What's your guess?
UAB Blazers.
UAB Blazers. Can you be a little more specific on that?
Basketball gym.
Basketball gym.
Yeah.
Nope, not the basketball gym.
Okay, my idea. I guess football field.
I can't say any more, but it's not the basketball gym. All right.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Dave.
Okay, the first stab at it, and
was it the UA? Was it the Gene Bartow Basketball Arena?
Right.
That's what he was saying.
So, first caller has called and fell by the wayside.
Yep, we threw it. He swung for the fence and he missed it. But it's a good guess.
Yes, sir. Ronnie.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this, and we'll get on to stuff more important. Seems like now that everything has to be back to kids playing Little League or playing Pee Wee football or getting these huge trophies.
Oh yes.
They're getting all tournament trophies, and then they get up in high school and they learn that when they get their all county presentation, it's a certificate. It's not a trophy.
It's exactly what it is.
I've seen kids, Pee Wee football players, ride to their banquet in limousines.
Yeah.
So
with a dance afterwards.
Yeah. What does it come to? Where is this going?
I don't know. You know, it's and I'm hoping, and maybe that the kind of the Pee Wee stuff has been toned down a little bit over the last maybe very few years, but you're exactly right. I very well remember when I was still at Vimont, you know, that some would rent a limousine and let the kids ride in a limousine, and I've never been in a limousine in my life. Have you?
One time.
Okay.
And that was it.
Well, that's one, and you're about 50 years old?
Yeah, and I was probably 45 when I was in it. So.
you had to save up money to do it then, didn't you? I mean, I've never been in a limousine. I've looked in the window of one, but I've never sat in one. I sure didn't get to ride in one when I was, you know, because I participated in, you know, youth sports. And I love youth sports.
Right.
I mean,
right.
We were involved when our kids were.
Right, and it's very important.
Yeah.
I think it gets teaches out of
many,
hand.
That's right. It teaches many lessons. But, you know, if parents would just let the kids go and play and enjoy it and then let it be what it is, it'd sure be a whole lot better off. Because it's not the kids that's asking for, you know, have this big, huge, elaborate banquet and ride in limousines and go to dances and those kind of things. I couldn't imagine as a peewee that I would even want to go to a dance.
No. What are they going to do at a
dance?
That'd
make me sick at that age.
Hey, we've got another caller. Robert is on the line to take a stab at Moolah. Robert, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What you got for? Where's Moolah?
UAB Blazer football.
You got it.
You got it, buddy.
UAB Blazer football.
That is field. It. Congratulations, Robert.
Robert, if you will stay on the line, get with Jay there and give him your number, and we'll be working out a way to send Moolah to you. Probably want to get a picture for People's Bank, and who knows, you may be even in Coleman Sense.
All right.
Hey, Robert, where do you live?
Good Hope.
You live in Good Hope. Okay, well, great. Hey, congratulations. Hey, can we borrow some money? Hey,
he kind of laughed at that.
He kind of laughed at that. Hey, Robert, we're going to be playing again Thursday night if you can go to Grumpy's.
All right, I'll do it.
There will be clues there, and Moolah will be heading out somewhere. I'm going to go ahead and say it for positive. Maybe I'll get more people there. Moolah will be heading somewhere in Grumpy's. Hey, Robert, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Robert.
Just hold on the line.
All right,
we've got a winner. So,
Cindy?
Cindy was very nice. I got a feeling Cindy knew where it was at.
I wish you'd call.
Hey, Cindy, if you're listening, can you give us a call and let us know where you right?
Yeah, Cindy, let us know whether you knew it was the Moolah was at the UAB football field or not. That's what we want to know.
I got a feeling she did. But back to the Pee Wee, Wee Wee, whatever you want to call it. I agree with you 100%, Ronnie. It seems to be too early, too much too early.
Yes, I agree.
What do they have to look forward to when they get in high school?
Yeah, like you said, you know, at the county tournament, you're down there playing in front of a crowd at Wallace, and all county, you get a certificate.
Hey, a lot to look forward to.
And that's enough.
I'm going to say this, and then we'll get off this subject. you remember when Tyler and Eric played Pee Wee basketball. I was an officer in the association. Went to the county meeting. It was brought up during that time, not going to say who or what,
sure,
but it was brought up during that time that the Pee Wee Basketball Association played their county tournament at Wallace. It was. I thought they were kidding, but they weren't kidding about it.
So. Oh my goodness! You imagine. Now that floor is 10 extra feet. It's longer than the high school court.
Right. Well,
could you imagine a kid that's been playing at a, you know, at Welty or at the time at Logan had a, you know, if they had a school, you know, some of those the courts are even a little bit smaller than some of your high schools, and you're gonna put them.
Yeah.
On the floor at Wallace.
I mean, little legs trying to get up and down the court.
Oh, they're gonna drop like flies. Oh,
hey,
we've got
Cindy on the line, so let's go to Cindy right quick. Cindy, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, tell us honestly, did you have it figured out?
No, I did not.
You didn't have it? Wow, I would have bet you had it, Cindy.
Nope, I didn't. I had looked at UAB, and at first I thought it was the letters that were lit up. The letters UAB.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And then one of the buildings has a green thing at night that's lit up. I don't know what it is. And then when y'all said fire, then that threw me off.
The fire that comes out of the drag out of the mascot's mouth.
Right.
That's where the fire came from.
Oh, okay. What I had picked was the replica of the Statue of Liberty down at Liberty Park.
Hey, that would have been a good one.
That'd been a good one, Cindy.
All the clues fit because, you know, Liberty National brought out Brown Insurance Company.
I didn't know that. So you done some digging on that one.
You're an encyclopedia of knowledge, aren't you, Cindy?
I guess. I don't know.
Cindy, do you know where the Brown name came from?
No, sure don't.
Watson Brown, the UAB football coach.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So y'all had me on this one.
Hey, it's about time.
Yeah. Now instead of batting 1,000, you're batting about 750, Cindy.
Hey, I still got time to come back. That means I can play again next week.
That's right.
You can play again
Thursday night.
You can play Thursday night, but, hey, you'll have to be there. You can't call in because we can't take calls Thursday at Grumpy's, so you'll have to come to Grumpy's to play.
I'm going to be there.
All right. Good deal.
There'll be a lot of freeze. Thanks for calling,
Cindy.
Okay,
thanks, Cindy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, Cindy, it was honest. She didn't have it figured out. If I'd been Cindy, I believe I'd have called and said, yeah, I had it the whole time.
Yeah. I knew it after the first clue you gave. I had it right then. But, hey, congratulations to Robert for winning $75. Robert lives in the Good Hope community. So, congratulations, Robert.
Right, and I know Robert, and I know for a fact that he has hunted moolah. In fact, he told me one day is one of the times I think that Cindy won it. That's a pretty good guess. That he was actually here at the station looking around. It was one of the ones we done about something being high up. And he was thinking the tower. And so while we were on the air that day, he was out here.
He was
looking
scavenging
around for moolah. So
what about that?
Hey, Robert, if you're listening, thank People's Bank the next time you ride by.
That's right.
Without them, this wouldn't be possible. And we really can't say enough how much we appreciate People's Bank sponsorship in this.
It's a fun segment that we get to do. And, again, People's Bank, Jimmy there, and the whole staff, they sponsor it for us along with some of the other things that we're going to be, you know, giving away to the kids. So we are so thankful that People's Bank, you know, was willing to partner with us.
I'm going to say one thing and then let Ronnie tell about a guest we have coming in the studio. I'm going to say one thing about a segment that we've not had lately, which is out in left field. This segment has brought up a little controversy in different areas. But, folks, let me say this. Lighten up. It's a fun segment. It's not meant in any way, any harm toward anyone. It's a time that we can take and just laugh. This segment is not going away. It's just taking a break because we hadn't had time to do it, and it's the easiest segment to do away with.
Right.
But it will be back. So if you don't enjoy that segment, I'm sorry, but I would say the positive.
Yeah. We certainly don't mean any harm to anybody at all.
No, in no way.
Would never be our reason for doing it. So and, if we have, we apologize.
Right, and the people who like it, I would say, outweigh the people who don't, probably 20-1, because I've honestly, and I don't know what it says about our show, but I've heard more comments about that segment than any other segment of the show.
Exactly.
Go ahead, tell us about the guest we have.
Hey, after we come back from the break, hopefully, Brian Lacey will be joining us. Brian works at the Coleman Electric Co-op across the road here. Brian is a sports journalist by his degree. He graduated from Sam Houston University. There's not probably many people in Coleman that graduate from Sam Houston, but he is a sports guru. He loves sports. He writes about sports. He used to, write some for the Times and some of the other local papers here on the weekends. He'll go around to the high school games and write and for those games. So he's going to join us here in a little bit, and we're going to talk, football, because while we're talking about, the football season kicks off this Thursday, and it does, but in reality, it kicked off Saturday, because the FCS, I believe that's what it's called, as we know, it used to be the 1AA. They kicked off on Saturday with Sam Houston State and Eastern Washington playing. So we're going to get Brian to talk a little bit about that, and I want to ask him a few questions. He's from the state of Texas. And I want to see if what the rivalry, college rivalries, are like in Texas compared to the Alabama-Auburn rivalry. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. I hear the music. Give us a call, 737-9951. And when we come back, hopefully Brian will be here. Stay with us.
I'd like to say something to the ladies. You know that one of the rules of modern life is perfect cleanliness. For instance, women years ago would be horrified at the thought of washing their hair every day, as many of our Hollywood stars do. But then they didn't have Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo in those days. If they had, I'll wager they would have used it frequently. For Fitch's saponified shampoo always leaves the hair lustrous and easy to set. Made from pure vegetable and mild coconut oils, it won't dry the hair or make it harsh feeling. It cleanses thoroughly, too, for it makes loads of fluffy lather even in hard water. This lather whisks away every bit of dust and dirt, leaves your hair fragrant and sparkling clean. Ask for a professional application of Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo at your beauty or barber shop, or buy an economical bottle at your drug or toilet goods counter. Look for the bottle with the bright yellow label.
But now here's Jim Doyle, the man from the Fitch Company, who wants to say something about one of his favorite subjects.
That's right, Dick. Fitch's No-Brush Shaving Cream is a favorite subject with me because men are always so pleased with it after they've tried it. Fitch's No-Brush combines three different shaving ingredients into one easy-to-use cream. One of the ingredients, a special skin conditioner, helps prepare even a tender, sensitive face for a solid comfort shave. Fitch's No Brush also has a creamy, non-greasy texture. It helps the razor do the job in a hurry, even if your beard is tough. When you've finished your shave, your face feels cool and refreshed and smooth as can be.
For men who prefer lather, there's Fitch's Brush Cream. It gives lots of rich, dense lather that stays moist all during the shave. Rinses off easily, too, leaving your face feeling smooth and pleasantly cool.
Join the thousands who have found shaving pleasure through their switch to Fitch. Both Fitch's Brush and Fitch's No Brush shaving creams contain the special skin conditioner for sensitive faces, and both come in handy 25 and 50 cent sizes. Remember, if dandruff is your problem, ask for Fitch's Dandruff Remover Shampoo. It's the only shampoo made whose guarantee to remove dandruff is backed by one of the world's largest insurance firms. No other shampoo can make this statement. Ask for Fitch's Dandruff Remover Shampoo at your drug or toilet goods counter, beauty or barber shop. Fitch is spelled F-I-T-C-H.
Let's all lather, boys, whichever you've the notion.
50 cents for shaving cream, $1 for the lotion.
Old Spice means quality, said the captain to the bosun. So look for the the package with the ship that sails the ocean. Yo-ho, yo-ho.
.439 on a Tuesday afternoon, Sports Talk Live back with you, and we are just about to welcome Brian Lacy.
He is pulling in the parking lot right now. What we were going to do was going to come back for a little segment, and then when Brian got here, we were going to take a quick break. So we may put his headset on and put him over here.
Hey, we'll put him in here and just throw him in, and he'll fit right in. Got a lot we're going to be talking about later in the show. Dan Vosta will join us today at 5:35 due to some work he has. Going to be a little later today.
A little later, okay.
Usually on a Thursday, but since we'll be at Grumpy's, we've asked him to talk to us today, and he agreed. Dan, great guy, works with us any way you can. So,
yeah, I tell you what, Dan the man is full of knowledge, that's for sure.
He has got it. He has got it, and as we speak, Brian is walking in.
Our man walks in. I tell you what, it's just off the cuff, and he's ready to go. I tell you, you may have to adjust those, Brian. Are you good?
I'm good.
All right. Hey, thanks for
joining us. I'll make it really loud where he gets a really loud headache.
Yeah, I can see that. Hey, Brian, thanks for joining us. Jason Spiegel. Good to have you. Yeah, Brian
Lacy.
Glad
to have you in with us.
I was telling Brian, before you got here, a little bit of your history, where you were from, and those kind of things. So, what your degree was in. But, hey, clue us in. Let folks know who Brian Lacy is.
No, all right. I moved here 2007. Took a job at the Coleman Times, and that brought me here from way over in Texas. And did that for just a little while, and then the good folks just across the street here at the Coleman Electric Co-op snatched me away. And so I've been over there for about 7 years now and do their communications. But I like to say, in a previous life, I was a newspaper editor and a sports writer and a sports editor, and so I'm now a reformed sports writer and sports editor, and still keep up with it in my free time.
You're a closet sports junkie now.
Pretty much, yeah.
Hey, Brian, I got to ask you before we get into sports.
Now, hang on. Engineering guy in the back room's got to make it funny. So he keeps scoring, the storms come through, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes.
I got to ask you something before we get too deep, and it's kind of on what Jay said. You're in communications at the electric co-op. So do you handle any of that when the storms do come through? Are you involved in any of that? Because if you so, I would hate to have your job.
Unfortunately, yes. Most of the news folks around here and the TV folks in Birmingham and Huntsville, they've got my cell phone number.
Oh, boy.
Group hug.
So, yeah, but that's that just kind of goes with the territory. You know, it's we're on call 24 hours a day,
right.
And fortunately we don't have to do it very often. But when it does, it's my job to keep people informed as to what's going on.
Yeah, well, that's great. Well, hey, thanks for coming by, Brian, and staying a little bit with us, or stay as long as you want or as little as you want. That's up to you. Hey, my first question is, of course, we know, college football is kicking off this weekend, but in reality, college football kicked off last weekend because the school that you graduated from, Sam Houston, was playing Eastern Washington. Now, folks, if you were flipping through the TV and looking at sports shows, and you came across a field that was blood red or some shade of red, that was the game that we're referring to. I have never seen any, and I watched most of the game, but I'm going to tell you, that's tough for me to sit and watch. It was painful, and I thought, and the Boise State field, that blue field.
Yeah, it literally starts to hurt your eyes after a while to look at it. The blue seems kind of tranquil compared to staring at the red field. And I credit Eastern Washington, at least
they're known for something, right?
People know who they are. It's something to, for a smaller school, you look at where an Oregon started maybe a decade ago. They were in the Pac-12, but right. nobody—they weren't a big time team, and they used that connection with Nike and started coming up with some psychedelic uniform combinations, and kids loved it.
Right.
And if Eastern Washington can land a couple of kids here or there because they think it's a cool deal to go play on a red field, then more power to them.
I agree. And correct me if I'm wrong, Brian. I believe Eastern Washington was ranked number two, and Sam Houston was 14. Is that right?
Yeah, depending upon the preseason polls, okay. And the polls at the FCS level are a little more difficult to get a read on just because, you know, it's just not quite followed as much. But I think the coaches' poll had Eastern Washington at 2, okay. Sam Houston at 14. The Sports Network is probably the most reputable media poll in the country for FCS. They do a really good job of following FCS across the whole country. And they had Eastern Washington at preseason number 1 and Sam Houston at 17. So,
okay.
But still, you're talking a matchup of a top 5 against a top 20 team.
Right. Now, and I know you know a lot about the FCS as opposed to the FBS. For folks who don't know, just give us a, you know, just tell us briefly what the difference in those two are.
The analogy I use most, if I tell people that I went to Sam Houston State and it's in, you know, Texas, to give a comparable athletic department-wise, it's like a Jacksonville State. You know, when it comes to basketball and baseball and those things, they're competing in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
They're competing in the College World Series. All your other sports are. But in football, again, just with the finances that are involved, the number of scholarships that are involved, Division I has two levels. You've got the big boys.
Right.
And even within the big boys, you kind of have the haves and the have-nots between your I guess, you know, your what was the BCS level conferences, and then your the Sun Belt, Troy, UAB,
right.
Those kind of guys, and then you've got that next level of Division I for the smaller schools that just don't have the money to compete at football at that level. But still, it's
good football.
It really is.
What was it 2 years ago that Sam Houston was in the championship game? Was that 2 or 3 years?
2011 and 2012.
Yeah, there were 2 years, and I thought, hey, these guys they can play. And they can.
Oh yeah,
and they've got some talent right now. I thought their quarterback was really good. Actually, quarterback on both teams were good. And you know more about it than I do. But the last few years, one of those FCS has beaten, you know, FBS.
Eastern Washington last year, Vernon Adams, who's their quarterback, who is probably one of the best players at the FCS level,
right.
Nationwide. That Eastern Washington team went into Corvallis last year. First week of the season, Oregon State is preseason top 25,
right.
And they knocked off Oregon State.
And it seems to happen every year.
Oh, it does. It does. You're always going to see a couple teams that give some folks a scare, especially when the matchups are right. You're not always going to see the Appalachian State beat
Michigan
type game.
Right.
But especially when you get you take those top 25 teams that are in the FCS classification and you match them up against some of those teams. One I saw from this weekend, Montana is a kind of a perennial power in the
right.
FCS.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing Wyoming this weekend, and Wyoming's got a first-year head coach and turned things around. Wyoming will be favored. That would not be a shocker. If you see that FCS BC or FBS
right.
win right there.
Now, is that the same? Is that what North Dakota State? Are they? Is that North Dakota State, the conference? The league they play in.
Correct, because North Dakota
okay.
State is who Sam Houston State played in
right.
the 11 and 12 national championships. They won it again last year,
13,
and then their coach got hired away and is the head coach at Wyoming.
Okay,
now
okay.
So it's FCS kind of gets it's spread across the country. You've got the Big Sky Conference, which is Eastern Washington, and you see some interesting schools there because you've got Eastern Washington, you've got a Montana State, and if I've told people this before, I've been to most of the SEC venues. There is not a stadium in America that is louder than Washington Grizzly Stadium in Missoula, Montana. It is in the bottom of a mountain valley. It
yeah.
seats about 25,000 people.
Oh,
they cram about 30,000 into
yeah.
it. And it is like sitting in a jet engine when they're good, and they're typically a top 10
wow.
program.
But those are things that here we never hear about. You know,
no. Again, it's just on a different scale.
Sure.
I mean, in the state of Montana, they're the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are the only show in town, and everybody that lives there follows it. And so, there's probably more FCS schools on the East Coast, when you get up into the areas that just don't follow college
right.
football as much, when you get up into the New England states, that's NFL country.
Yeah.
They don't even follow college football like we follow college football
right.
down this part of the country.
Right. As far as scholarship-wise, how many scholarships Or do you know exactly, you know, how many they're allowed as opposed to the
different? I believe that your FBS conferences, your SEC, your big schools have 85 football scholarships. Your FCS, and again, if we're saying FCS, you know, a lot of people will remember that as what used to be Division One AA.
Yeah.
There's 63 scholarships.
Okay.
And that's really, I mean, you guys, you know, you see it even in the high school level.
Sure.
It's like a 3A taking on a 5A. Numbers are what get to be the difference.
You. Right.
Sam Houston's going to go play LSU in 2 weeks. You know.
They will compete for a while.
We'll compete for a while, but we don't have the depth.
Sure.
And that makes the biggest difference. That's why you'll see plenty of kids from, you know, a Jacksonville State, a Sam Houston, a Georgia Southern.
Right.
You'll see those kids get drafted. You'll see guys like that in the NFL. I mean, you could make up an all-pro team out of nothing but guys that came from small colleges.
Oh.
Those schools
I
just
see
don't
those
have,
guys on there, and I think, no. Where did they say he was from?
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Well, it is college, like Ronnie said, that I've never heard of.
Wasn't it old Terrell Owens? Was it Owens that played at UTC? Played at Chattanooga?
Chattanooga.
I mean, you know, great player.
Jerry Rice from Mississippi Valley State. Right. You know, that's you can like I said, you could make up a whole team from linemen, linebackers, the whole lot. Guy from Sam Houston, Josh McCown, is the starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Absolutely. I hadn't thought about that.
You know, we've got a handful of guys from our school. And that's the biggest difference is, you know, 1 through 11, we can match up okay. But as soon as you get the depth of talent, when you get to the second team and the third team at Alabama and Auburn and those schools, is just as good as the first team.
Right.
And there's a big drop off when you're at that next level.
Chandler Nelson signed with Tennessee Tech, local guy here in with us, and he was saying the exact same thing, that, you know, first 11 guys, they pretty much hold their own, but after that, it's a tremendous drop off, and that's where you see, like, wasn't it Oregon they were ahead of? Tennessee Tech was ahead of Oregon.
That's what Chandler was saying, yeah.
And then before it was over, it was pretty ugly, and of course in Oregon's favor.
Yeah, you'll hear that a lot when kids transfer into a FCS school. They find out real quick that it's not the pushover they thought
it
was.
Would be.
And that when it comes to competing at the starting level and getting a starting spot out on the field, it's tough.
Right. Let me ask you this. We'll talk about rivalries. And you being from the state of Texas, raised in the state of Texas, you understand that, you know, the Texas rivalries, and now that you've come to, you know, the state of Alabama, we're glad you're here, by the way, do you understand the Alabama-Auburn rivalry? How would you compare those, or can you compare them, or what do you think?
It's Alabama-Auburn is most comparable to Texas and Texas A&M. And again, having moved here and not grown up in the Iron Bowl rivalry and kind of seen it firsthand but not been in the middle of it, there's kind of a big brother, little brother. Even when Auburn's good like they are right now, you know, there's still that almost that little brother chip on the shoulder, like I'm trying to prove to big brother that I'm just as good. And Texas A&M had fought that their entire lives with Texas. Even when they were good, they still weren't the university for the state. And it was interesting when the rumors started a couple years ago about Texas A&M leaving. And I've got lots of friends that have connections to both those schools. And the Texas people, kind of like you would expect a big brother, you can't go without us. You're not big enough. And I thought for Texas A&M, that was the best thing they ever did as a university. Was to get out from underneath the shadow of Texas and supplant themselves as
legitimate.
As legitimate and standing on their own as the only Texas representative in the SEC. And then it's just kind of been a perfect storm for them with hiring Kevin Sumlin, and Kevin Sumlin gets lucky enough to have this kid named Johnny Manziel on his roster when he shows up. And, you know, it's been really good for them. But the difference, and I have tried to explain this to people who are my good friends back in Texas, and I end up usually at a loss for words, and I tell them, listen, you've just got to come, and I'll take you down one weekend, and you can see. Because here's the difference, is that even with Texas and Texas A&M being the two big dogs, you've still got nine other Division I football schools in Texas. That's before you get to the small colleges. I'm talking TCU and Baylor and Rice and Houston and SMU, Texas Tech, all of these schools. Not to mention the fact you've got two professional football teams.
Right.
You've got two professional baseball teams. You've got three professional basketball teams. And the state is just so stinking big.
Right.
All right. And so I've told people, I said, imagine taking everybody that's in the state of Texas, cramming them into just one corner, taking all the other teams away, and telling them you've got to pick team one or team two, and that's it. And then we're going to talk about it 365 days
right.
a year.
Exactly.
That's so true. Because we don't. When you grow up in Texas, yeah. I mean, football is still king.
Right.
But it's not the 365 day a year beast.
There's too many teams to choose from.
Yeah, so it doesn't have that level of intensity because it is a little diluted.
Right.
The football is still the passion for football is the same, but the intensity is just different. It's higher here, and I can tell folks, I'm like, you've just got to come, and I'll take you down to either Auburn or Tuscaloosa on a Saturday and let you see for yourself.
Yeah, because you can't tell anybody. You just have to experience it.
Hey, Brian, tell us. I know. Watching on TV, and I've heard about it on the radio, but this is something in Texas that I can't comprehend, is high school football being played at the level that it's played in Texas.
I'm glad you asked that. Cause
15, 20, 25,000 people showing up to a high school football game. We're not talking about a state championship. We're talking about a regular season game.
I don't know how to explain it, other than I would tell you to do the same thing. Just get it out, go check it out.
You have to go experience it.
It helps again when you've got your Houston and Dallas metro areas are. I mean, the populations are just ridiculous, and so you've got so many high schools and so many people. And then, again, because it's football and it's king, the money that goes into it at that level. I mean, you know, high schools that have just ridiculous indoor practice. I'm talking like, and classification numbers wise, it's similar. So if I'm talking about 1A, 2A, 3A, you can correlate it to similar size high schools here in the state.
Okay.
But I'm talking about 2A high schools in the state of Texas that have state of the art indoor practice facilities. You know, again, stadiums that seat 15, 20,000 people with luxury boxes, and I mean it's crazy.
Now my question that I want to ask too is high school football in Texas that much better than high school football in the state of Alabama? I hate to say it has to be better, but with so much emphasis, you would think it's going to be better caliber, even though State Alabama plays some really darn good football.
I think you would see the biggest difference is not that I don't think the highest level of high school football in Texas is that much higher than the highest level here. There's just a whole heck of a lot more teams in Texas that can play it at that level strictly because of the number of schools that are involved.
And apparently some deep pockets to afford the kind of things you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. So.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's where you're going to see the difference is that, you know, in Alabama you can count, say three or four teams that, you know, get national recognition in terms of, USA Today rankings, stuff like that.
Right.
Compare that same list and see how many schools from Texas are on there, and you're going to see more schools. But I don't think that, you know, if whoever's King, you know, just use Hoover as an example since they're, you know, perennial power. But, you take a Hoover and match them up against any of the best 5 or 6A schools in the state of Texas, and they're going to compete with them on any given night.
Okay. Yeah. That's it. That's interesting. But I was thinking that, too. I was thinking, you know, flipping around ESPN and Fox Sports, you know, you see this is high school football. And then you look at these stadiums, you figure out they're playing in Texas. And, I mean, it's like a college, you know, a college stadium, you know, but it's a high school kids playing. It's unbelievable.
The movie Friday Night Lights and then the series Friday Night Lights all came about because of Texas high school football. So
sure.
That's what that was based on.
So, hey, Jay, if you can take us to a break and if Brian can stay another 5 or 10 minutes, we're going to ask him about, some SEC football, what he thinks he sees going on, and who's going to be in the 4-team playoffs. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a minute.
One of the newest developments of chemical science to be made available commercially by the DuPont Company is N2, a long-known chemical discovered during the war to be a better rat poison. Now it is available in branded compounds for your use. Antu is so powerful that a few 10,000ths of an ounce will kill a rat. It is easy to use in a bait or as a tracking powder. While Antu is a special poison for the common rat and is not as dangerous as most rat poisons, it is a poison, and pets and animals should be kept away from it. Your local dealer probably sells a rat poison containing Antu, one of the DuPont Company's better things for better living through chemistry. As a result of long continuing research in the field of commercial explosives, the DuPont Company today manufactures more than 200 different formulations of dynamite, as well as other explosives, blasting supplies, and accessories. DuPont research has also brought to light new and more efficient ways of using explosives, including a new and better way to fire them, the DuPont Blasting Timer. It is now known that in some types of blasting, better results are obtained when one big blast is divided into a number of little ones, fired with almost unbelievable accuracy, a few thousandths of a second apart. The new DuPont invention, the DuPont Blasting Timer, detonates blasts in just this way. It looks like a portable radio. Inside the box, cams so delicately machined that they operate with greater accuracy than a fine stopwatch, close switches that fire the shots one after another. In developing natural resources such as coal and other minerals, blasting must occasionally be carried out near residential and business districts. Here, the timer is of service because it reduces the vibration of the ground. The DuPont timer also makes delay shooting even safer than before, providing an accurate means of firing the charges without using electric blasting caps in the drill holes and lessening the danger that an unfired charge will remain in a hole and go off later by accident. In addition, tests indicate that the DuPont blasting timer will be of considerable aid in rock quarries, bringing down the rock in smaller pieces, which means greater efficiency and lowered costs. This new DuPont invention is another contribution to efficiency and safety from the DuPont Company, maker of better things for better living through chemistry.
We're the all-new Live 95, WRJM-LP, Coleman.
And welcome back to Sports Talk Live. My co-host Ronnie Barnes, and today in the studio we have Brian Lacey, and Brian has really enlightened us on the football in the state of Texas. And Ronnie, now we're going to take him to another level and talk about the playoffs.
That's right. We're going to talk about the playoffs, Brian. Before we have you pick your our four teams, who do you see, SEC, who do you think is going to win the East and the West?
The East, I think the biggest question for me is, which was the anomaly for Florida? Was 2012, when they went to the Sugar Bowl, was that the freak of nature moment?
Uh-huh.
Or was last year?
Right.
You know, if I had a feeling of which one I thought, if I really think last year was just a blip on the radar, and that they're going to bounce back, then to me, the East completely comes down to the Florida-Georgia game and who can win that, and then kind of has control, and then South Carolina's right there waiting to pounce. I don't know if it's just, you know, history with South Carolina. Until they do it, I have a hard time. And I know they got there 2010. But that's the wild card for me in the East, is Florida going to be legit?
They finished 4-8. That is not – their talent is not 4-8 talent.
No.
You know, I mean, they were decimated by injuries. I mean, if you saw that club, you know, if you went, we went down and watched them practice now, and somebody told you, you didn't know anything about them, they said, hey, they were 4-8 last year, you'd think this guy's nuts. It's telling me that.
No.
I think they can easily win 9 games.
It all just depends. I think the quarterback play, that's been the biggest issue there since Muschamp has taken over. If Driscoll's healthy. I know some Florida fans that weren't necessarily upset when he got hurt last year.
That's right.
I think that was They didn't think that was a bad thing.
That's right.
But if he's going to be their guy, you know, do you think he can carry you to it? That's where I looked. If it's going to be a surprise, I don't want to just say, you know, Georgia, South Carolina. Florida's sure. the wild card
I
for
agree.
Me because I think if they're as good as they really have been, then they're right back in the mix. And then I think the West, for as stacked as it is, I think it still comes down to November 29th in Tuscaloosa, and whoever walks off the field that day is going to be playing the next week in the
I
SEC
agree.
Championship game.
I agree.
The thing that I've said with Auburn since last year was you guys know you're involved in sports. The old adage, you win some, you lose some. That they even out over time.
Right.
You know, you can't imagine that if Auburn finds itself in a situation 6-7 times this year,
right,
going into the final 5 minutes, the game's in the balance, that they're going to find a way to win every single one of those games like they did last year.
Yeah.
The difference is, I think they'll be a better team this year, so they won't be
in that position.
As often.
I agree. If they're better defensively.
If they are. So that'll be the key. And again, if Nick Marshall, you know, can develop a little bit of a downfield passing game,
right,
then an already potent offense, I don't even know how you stop it.
Yeah.
If, you know,
I don't either. You know, and I don't know that you can. I think basically what it's going to come down to is, can you get one or two stops late in the game that give you a chance to beat them? I'm an Alabama fan. Of course, Jason's an Auburn fan, but that's kind of the way I see it. You're not going to shut them down. You're not going to stop them. They're going to score points, but can you get one or two stops in the fourth quarter to get you the ball back to win? I think, to me, that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, and then, of course, I think Alabama's, you know, this isn't the first time they've kind of been in this position where you felt like they had
a
defense that you know was going to do enough to win every single game.
Right.
Are we going to have a quarterback is the question Alabama fans are asking. Are we going to have a quarterback that can do enough to win the game for us or not do anything to lose the game for us? And I'm not sure which one of those guys it is yet. My gut says, just listening to the way Coach Saban has handled the situation, is that I think Coker's the guy.
I do too.
But I think he feels loyalty to Sims. I think
he
appreciates the
fact. He's a senior. He's been there.
He's been there. He's worked his tail off. That's why I think he's going to get the first snap this Saturday, and may even get the first few drives. But I would be really surprised over the next couple games if Coker's not the guy. And if it wasn't, if this was two young guys playing it out, I think Coker wins it outright. But I think because Sims is a 4-year guy, and I think Saban likes him and respects him, that he's going to give him that opportunity. To play,
I agree with you. Can Sims get it done for the whole season? I don't know. He's never had the opportunity, and so there's a lot of question marks there. Plus, like you said, he's a senior. You're gonna play that senior that you're not sure about, or you're gonna play a guy that you're gonna have for a couple years.
Yeah.
And I don't think Coker would have ever come to Alabama. I don't think Saban would have ever taken him if he didn't think this is gonna be my guy.
I agree.
I'm playing the devil's advocate here.
At Auburn. You do that stuff.
What does it say for the Alabama quarterback situation that you bring Coker in and this late, he's still not won the position outright enough that Saban can say, hey, this is our guy?
I don't think Saban would have said it if he had won it outright.
I'm not sure about that.
I don't think Saban would have given it up.
I think you have to have certainty in the team.
Oh, he has certainty, but he doesn't want anybody
else.
The team,
I understand, has fell behind Blake Sims. Now, whether that's truthful or not, I don't know, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's not going to matter. They're going to win anyway.
They'll probably win until they get to Ole Miss.
Oh, yeah. Jason's got Ole Miss.
Mark that one on your calendar.
Yeah. So
Ole Miss finishes second in the West.
Yeah, behind.
Behind Auburn,
of course. Yeah, Brian. This is the same guy that said, and I quote: "I will give you that Nick Saban is a better recruiter. I will give you that Nick Saban knows more football. We're talking about Gus Malzahn, but he wouldn't hire him over Gus Malzahn.
But Brian, the reason is Nick Saban has 2 years left, and then he's going to be doing his stint on ESPN. He's not going to be there 2 years. He's gone.
He got.
So you're taking Gus for the long haul.
Right.
Yeah. Everybody's, you know, all Auburn people, they're on the Gus bus right now because they've won
this week. Championship in the next 2 years, I take Saban. But
If
I had to pick a coach that I'm going to have at my university,
and build my
Gus
program around.
Okay.
That's fair.
But have you seen, and then we'll get back to what we're going to talk about, have you seen the newest article out on ESPN where they're ranking the teams, and there's five categories they rank them in. I don't remember what they are. I have to look them up. But so they rank them on five categories. There's several different sports people that did it. And the premise is, which college team is going to win the most football games in the next 3 years? You know who number one was?
Probably Alabama.
Okay, you got They're it. All, number one, Alabama. Number two,
have,
Florida
where
State.
Where did they have Alabama at last year?
Well, I don't know if they even sure did it last year. I'm yeah, sure I know they did. Yeah, they did because Auburn was way down this year, and this year they're up to about five or six. So you know.
But you know as well as I do, those rankings mean nothing.
They mean nothing, of course. Nothing. Just something to talk about.
Right.
So, all right. Talking about something to talk about. Brian, give us your final four pick in the playoff.
Just because I don't want to go just 1, 2, 3, 4 straight off the AP poll.
Sure.
We'll mix it up just a little bit, but I still think you've got Florida State. I mean, I just don't see who beats them.
No.
The only possibility to me is if Clemson goes down and gets them at their place.
I don't see
but
that.
But if not, barring an injury to Jameis or some other off the field incident that ends up getting him
in a situation, maybe want some more seafood.
You know, I just don't see Florida State doesn't have anybody on their schedule that
I don't
looks
either.
Like they're capable of beating them.
Not even close. Hey, you could put combine a lot of the teams on Florida State's schedule and they couldn't beat them.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think even with Braxton Miller, I don't know if Ohio State would manage to get into that top four without him. I don't think they do.
I agree.
I think out of the – I look at the Pac-10 teams, I think UCLA just because
– That's who I pick UCLA over Oregon.
It's tough to say because I really like Oregon.
I
think Marcus Mariota is the best quarterback in college. But I'm going to take Florida State and UCLA on one side. I'm going to say Alabama gets in, and I'm going to say that I'm going to take a flyer here.
You go out on a limb, Brian.
We're going to go Baylor.
Baylor. I saw someone today when I was scrolling through ESPN had picked Baylor to win the national championship. I forgot who it was.
I wonder what, for the entertainment purposes only, Baylor would be right now.
They can put some on the board.
You know, we'll see what Oklahoma brings to the table.
Yeah.
You know, if the Knight kid can play all season like he played in the Sugar Bowl, then I don't know that anybody will be able to beat Oklahoma. But part of the reason Oklahoma struggled last year is because they didn't get consistent play from their quarterback.
Right.
So if he has continued to mature and grow as a quarterback and a leader, Oklahoma could be right there. You know, it's very easy to look at that AP top 25 and just say Florida State, Alabama, right. Oregon, Oklahoma, and that it's not going to change all year.
Right.
You know, I pick somebody else simply because history tells me it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
There's always going to be those games that make you say, yeah. You know, there's no way they're going to lose, and they lose.
That's right. Who do you think wins it when it's all said and done? Who do you think wins the national championship? If you only go talent only, who's going to win the national
championship? If I go talent only, Florida State's going to repeat.
I agree.
But the difficulty even the SEC in its seven-year run of dominance, yep. Winning consecutive titles,
yep.
You know, saw how difficult it was to win back-to-back.
You've
got to have so many things go just right for you, both just in terms of
right. yep.
scheduling and catching breaks in games and being healthy and catching somebody else losing the game somewhere. It is really, really difficult to repeat. But I think Florida State...
I agree, talent-wise.
...has the ability to.
If it's Florida State, if it were Florida State and Alabama... As much as I'd want to pick Alabama because of Saban and his ability to when he gets there, he wins.
Yeah.
I mean, my question is, and I don't know the answer to this, has he ever been in a national championship game that he lost?
I don't think he has.
I don't think he has either.
I think
he won at LSU.
Look at the top 10 going into this season, and that leaves Georgia, LSU, Wisconsin, Stanford just on the outside. Baylor and South Carolina were starting to stretch, but Michigan State, UCLA, Auburn, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Oregon, Alabama, Florida State, any one of those teams can beat any one of those other teams on any given day.
I agree.
How it plays out on, you know, on one night, I don't know.
Right.
But I would be hard pressed to see somebody outside of maybe that preseason top 10, maybe top 12, jumping all the way up into one of those top four spots at the end of the year.
I agree. But it's going to be interesting. It's going to be entertaining because there's, you know, I like that we now have a quota playoff system per se. But, you know, like we were talking at the break, you know, the FCS has had a playoff forever, I guess. Since the league was developed.
And every other level of NCAA football has a playoff.
Yeah.
And so for the big schools to cry all the time, oh, we can't have a playoff, and talking about, you know, students and too much time away from the classroom. And,
right.
I mean, it's just it's an empty argument, and I'm glad they finally have found a way to put a playoff together. I can understand some people who like to say that, well, it devalues the regular season, and there's some, but I can see that, you know, that the Iron Bowl last year to the rest of the country doesn't mean quite as much.
Sure.
I mean, if that play's not, you know, if that game is not determining who goes to the SEC championship. But at the same time, you know, for a lot of other people, you know, when you lose in those first couple of weeks and you start to think your season's over, well, then the year's not real interesting anymore.
No, that's right.
And so when you have a playoff and you know that, okay, you know, I don't just have to be one of the top two, that I just need to have a really good season, and I can still, even if I drop one along the way, I've still got a shot. It gives me something to play for. It keeps my fans engaged. It keeps everybody interested. And I think that's an important part of the playoff. And that's why I think eventually the playoff will expand past 14.
I think so. I think this is a good start. But, you know, but on the flip side, you know, the last few years, as much as we all used to complain about the BCS, they pretty much got it right.
The way
it shook out at the end, they pretty much got it right.
Adds more controversy than we've ever had before, because the way it was, 1 and 2, you had one, maybe two at the most, that had a claim to that number two spot. Now you're going to have 4-5 teams that's going to claim the number four spot.
And you're going to have people, athletic directors, and people making the decision who those
four
are going
to be. It's going to go behind closed doors with some magic formula that's going to come out.
Yeah. But that's going to be interesting.
It's going to generate a lot of talk. It's going to generate a lot of buzz, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's not, and probably some hate.
You know, that's where I think you're right, is when you get to that fourth spot, at least you're talking, you know, when it was one or two, and if you were three and you had a legitimate argument and you're just stuck sitting at home not playing in the national championship game, watching it saying, what if, at least now – you get a chance to play and prove it. You know, you're going to have a chance to win two games and do something. And the further away you get from that, you know, again, if it expands to an 8-team playoff, you know, well, then of course there's always going to be that 9th team.
Sure,
is going to
no
be
matter
upset.
How many.
But that's okay. I'd rather have the 9th team be upset than potentially the 3rd team if I had three really good teams that could have made an argument. And you avoid a situation like a 2004 where you've got a three undefeated teams and an Auburn's left on the outside sitting in.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous, and there's no reason for something like that to ever happen.
Yeah. And I look forward to the day when there's two SEC teams in that 4-team playoff. I don't think there's any there's many, many things that would have to fall for that to happen this year. I just don't think they're going to allow it to happen, you know, the committee, unless you get a lot of other folks that are losing games.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, you're going to have to have a really...
You're going to have to a lot of help before that ever happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, good deal.
Folks. We're up against a break, so we're going to take one right quick.
Yeah, thanks to Brian for coming by.
Great.
I'm sure he needs to
great
run.
Great to have
so.
You. Go home, get you some supper, as we call it, or dinner,
whatever
call
it is.
It. Depends
right.
on how old you are,
that's
what you
it.
Call it.
Yeah, thanks, Brian, for joining us.
Glad to do it, guys.
We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Floors, doors, walls, halls, white sidewall tires and old golf balls.
Sinks, stoves, bathtubs he'll do. He'll even help clean laundry too.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
kitchen sink.
Quicker than a wink.
Can he clean a window sash?
Faster than a flash.
Can he clean a dirty mirror?
He'll make it bright and clearer.
Can he clean a diamond ring?
Mr. Clean cleans anything.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute. Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it. Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Let's join Dan McCullough and his pal, Eddie.
Say, Dan, I've got an idea.
Yeah?
You remember the old game where I think of something and then you ask me questions and guess what it is?
Sure, Eddie. Why?
Well, let's play that game. Only let's make it about those insignia and warplane buttons I'm collecting. The ones from packages of Kellogg's Pep.
Okay. You want to start?
All right. I'm thinking of something that's red and blue and yellow and black and white.
Oh, that's one of those insignia buttons, all right, with all those colors. Let's see. Is it a picture of a bird?
Nope.
A bomb?
No.
An animal?
Well, yeah, an animal.
Well, that gives me something to start on. Now, is it one of the second series of buttons?
Right.
Let's see, an animal. Is it a bear?
Nope.
Hey, this is getting tough. A dog?
Guess again.
I know. A tiger.
Oh, you guessed it. But I'll bet you can't tell me which squadron that insignia belongs to.
Oh, that's easy, Eddie. It's Marine Fighter Squadron VMF 224. And like the other buttons in this swell second series, it's a honey. Clear, brilliant colors, sharp outlines. Why, you can even see the tough expression in the tiger's eyes and the rings around his tail. He's all dressed up, too, with a cap and a sweat jersey and boxing gloves. Yes, sir, these insignia buttons are just about the classiest looking things you ever saw. And they're so easy to get. You don't send in any money, not even a box stop. And you can't buy them anywhere. You just make sure Mother gets you a package of that super delicious whole wheat flake cereal, Kellogg's Pep. Then, inside you'll find a prize, an exciting insignia or warplane button. There's a button in every package. And it's a prize for you from P.E.P. Pep. Made by Kellogg's of Battle Creek. Next time it's too rainy for you to be out of doors, here's an idea for what to do. Get out your collection of insignia and warplane buttons from packages of Kellogg's Pep and see how close you are to having all the buttons in both the first and the second series. Why, you'll probably make up your mind to eat more of that super delicious whole wheat flake cereal so you can get more prizes. Then, you might see how many of those insignia you can identify. Like Marine Bombing Squadron 433, for example. You can remember that with a red dragon with two tails, riding a bomb, and firing a machine gun. By the time you get through, you'll be mighty proud of your collection, believe me. Because, you see, these buttons really are smart-looking. The colors are clear and bright and sharp. Really stand out against the sparkling white background. And they're made of metal, so they'll last indefinitely. Now, if anyone should ask you how you got those swell buttons, tell them it's easy. You don't send in a single penny. No, sir, not even a box stop. And you don't buy them. You just ask Mom to get a package or two of Kellogg's Pep. Then, look inside for your exciting prize, a brilliant insignia or warplane button. There's a button in every package of P.E.P. Pep, made by Kellogg's of Battle Creek.
.522, and we're about 13 minutes away from Dan Vasta joining us
Dan,
for the Tuesday edition.
Dan, the man from Chicago.
I'm telling you, Dan's got it. He is swamped with work right now. Was going to be on at 5:15, but has been pushed back to 5:35, but that's okay.
And we have to do that today because Thursday we won't be able to take calls because we will be at Grumpy's from 4 until 7. So, hey, come join us. We're going to have games. We're going to have the cornhole board out on the deck, and you can come by and play some cornhole. We're going to have trivia questions inside. We're going to have prizes we're giving away.
Y'all just like to challenge your engineer guy to do all kinds of new stuff, don't you?
That's right. You got it. That's why you get paid the big bucks, Jay.
Yeah, I've got my walkie-talkies and my old two-way gear. We're going to try a string can. We'll make it work.
I got you. So, we're looking forward to being at Grumpy's for the kickoff of college football with Texas A&M against the South Carolina Gamecocks. That's the first game of the night. You know, there's on the SEC network. Yeah. But there's another one after that one. That's which, you know, it probably doesn't get the much hype. It's going to be Temple against Vandy.
Yeah, that one's probably not going to keep a lot of people up.
No, but I think I'll watch it.
You must not have to get up Friday morning, or you.
Well, I don't get up as early as you do. Let me put it that way.
Hey, also, people, bring something you don't mind getting wet, because if we to go through with the ice bucket challenge, you can bet right there on the spot, somebody that is within my seeing distance is going to get challenged. And so you can either bring something you don't mind getting wet, or you can back out and just be a wimp.
Just live with it for the rest of your life. Hey, and what's the deal? I saw where, you know, we're going to have to put on I'm going to have to put on an Auburn shirt, and you're going to have to put on...
Yeah, we threw that in there, too.
I noticed you did that. Last time I did that, I broke out in hives or something, some kind of rash. It looked kind of like leprosy.
It probably was.
That's why it was, old nasty shirt I had on.
Hey, folks, are you thinking about going to a game this weekend? ticket prices on the secondary market, what do you think? And Ronnie has already seen these, so he would look like a genius right now.
Yeah, I won't play, but I'll tell you this. If you live paycheck to paycheck, you should have started saving up on the last paycheck.
The most expensive ticket in town this weekend, not Alabama, not Auburn, although Alabama does come in second, Clemson, Georgia. The most expensive ticket in town, the get you in the gate, $162.
Is that to stand up there probably, in the little portal things? Okay.
You just get in there and you probably find yourself sitting in a corner in the nosebleed section.
You got that right.
Or on row one where you can't see over the football players. The most expensive ticket to that game cost you a cool $1,262. Second on the list.
Wait a minute. The first game of the season.
Right. Clemson, Georgia.
And it's $1,000.
$1,262. Now, they haven't sold that. It's listed on StubHub. West Virginia, Alabama, the get-you-in price, $81. The most expensive ticket on the market, $530.
Wow.
Wisconsin, LSU, $73 to get you in. $665 will set you in the most expensive seat in the stadium. Texas A&M, South Carolina coming in, and then rounding it out, Boise State and Ole Miss. That's a surprising game.
Yeah, well, it's funny you said it. Brian just sent me a text when I was talking about games on Thursday night, and he just sent me a text telling me that Boise State and Ole Miss play Thursday night. I know that is of great interest to you because you have picked Ole Miss to beat Alabama.
Ole Miss to beat Alabama. Go ahead and mark it down.
I will say you're not the only person who has picked that.
And just as I told you a while ago, that is becoming somewhat of a popular pick, so it may not happen. But
well,
I'm going to stay with it.
It's popular because they're trying to find some possible game that Alabama might possibly lose before the Auburn game because people got to have something to talk about. It's not going to be interesting to talk about, Alabama, it doesn't matter who they're playing this week, they're going to win it, going to win it, going to win it, the next one, next one, next one. Would you agree with that? It's just a random game that they feel like, hey, there is a stroke of luck happen.
Right, Ole Miss could win this game. Alabama, I got them at 10-2. Worst case scenario, 9-3. But I think 10-2 is it. Best case scenario, 11-1.
Best case scenario is playing in the national championship.
Hey, I've got a schedule of Alabama's printed out, and I think I left it in the truck, but I'm going to get it to you before the end of the game.
I've got a schedule
you need to see.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Cupcake. Texas A&M, cupcake.
And when I saw that, and I'm not going to talk about it today. I'm going to save it maybe for Thursday. Because I took Alabama's schedule for this year, Auburn's schedule for this year. I broke those down. I got the records off of the teams they're playing, what they did last year, and we'll talk about that. If Alabama and Auburn's schedule, are their toughnesses really that far apart?
Oh, they're miles apart.
I know that's what you're going to think.
Auburn has been rated, their schedule strength as high as 5, Alabama as high as 61, Alabama as low as 96. Auburn is low as like 40, 41.
Everybody's always on that bandwagon about Bama's schedule. I'm telling you, when you look at it on paper, and I'm comparing this season, but how the teams did last year, they're not that far apart. Wins and losses, I promise you, they're not that far apart.
You probably figured it up, and you're probably right.
I know I'm right.
But everybody in the nation,
I'm going to prove those people. I'm going to make those people think.
All the talking heads will say, is saying Alabama's schedule is one of the weakest in the nation.
I'm going to prove that's not. I'm going to prove if it's that weak, then...
Some Alabama fans you can't prove anything to. I mean, they're just not going to hear it. You know?
I'm going to prove that the difference... I'm not going to prove it. I'm just throwing it out. I can't prove anything. I don't know enough about anything to prove it. I'm going to show that the difference in Alabama and Auburn's schedule may not be as great as some people may think it is, based upon simple fact from last year's teams. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does somewhat, but if you base it on last year, then Alabama shouldn't be ranked number two. So that kind of goes out the window. Hey, and this, talking about Alabama fans, leads me into this, and four SEC fan bases ranked among the 10 best in college football. Fan bases.
The four best team? Fan bases?
Fan bases.
Okay, and I haven't seen this.
Who would you say the number one fan base in the country? This is not SEC. Who would you say the number one fan base as rated by?
I have not seen this.
No, you've not seen it.
My number one pick, Penn State.
University of Texas. Followed by number two. Okay.
So it's not Penn State.
No, it's not one. Penn State.
Okay, number.
In fact, I'm going to tell you this: Penn State did not make the top 10.
I can't believe that.
Maybe the
how could they not make
scandal.
That under the circumstances just they've recently gone through, and they still fill that stadium, and that Beaver Stadium seats about 102,000.
It's just like what we talked about on the other stuff. This,
I know.
This means nothing.
Nothing. It's absolutely nothing.
Number two.
Okay.
The Hunchback of
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Number three, the University of Georgia. Number four, the Florida Gators. Number five, Auburn University. Number six, Arkansas. Seven, Michigan. Eight, Oklahoma. Nine, Iowa. And ten,
Iowa?
Yeah. Ten, Nebraska.
So you're telling me Alabama is not even in the top ten of fans that go to games? Fan base?
Fan base, right.
Who did this survey?
This was done by the Bleacher Report. John Cooper done the article.
John's smoking weed.
And I don't know what all he looked at here. I'll look
apparently,
into
I'm telling you how he came up with it. He put them all in a hat and he drew them out. First one I draw will be number one, and on for number two. How can Iowa?
I don't understand that either, but.
Or Georgia, Auburn, for that matter.
Auburn was ranked ahead of Alabama in this
and
one.
That's all
so,
you can.
Yeah,
that's
I
all
just
you,
brought it in.
That's all.
Ronnie, honestly, where do you see Alabama?
Winning the national championship.
Honest, you're being honest. You're not just pulling a crimson and white.
Here's what I think. No, honestly, I think it'll be Florida State, and I think you always have to say ifs. If they get decent quarterback play, and I think they will. I think the Coker kid will be the kid down the stretch. I don't care what they're talking about now, what they're saying now, you know, or what Saban is or isn't saying, and he may use both quarterbacks for a while. They've done it before. Till McCarron, you know, they did that for a little bit with McCarron till he won the starting job. So that part wouldn't surprise me. So if they get good enough quarterback play, I think they're good enough. If we base it on, you know, number one, if we're going to base it on good coaching, you're not going to – I don't think you're going to find better. You might find some as good. I don't think you'll find better.
I'm going to write that down that you've even said that you might find some as good. I'm going to write it down right now. Today.
Today, I did say that you may find some as good. You won't find any better. You won't find a club with more talent. Now, if I'm basing talent on – recruiting, the recruiting classes. That's all I'm using. Coaching and talent. That's pretty much the cornerstone of whether you're going to be successful.
You got them 12-0, and then win a national championship 13-0.
I got them in the national championship.
Whatever 14-0, yeah. I guess by the time they get through.
Yeah, I've got them in the national championship game against Florida State, and the only reason do I think Florida State's talent will be better than Alabama's. Absolutely. I don't think anybody can question that. I think Nick Saban is the ace in the hole. I think he's better than Jimbo Fisher, and they'll win the ball game.
He's better than Jimbo Fisher.
Because we said just a few minutes ago, there has not been a national championship game that Nick Saban has not been in that he has not won.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I can't even think. Well, you said it. I can't think about it, though.
Yeah. He's won three at Alabama and won one at LSU. He's been in four
nationals. Not a national championship game that Nick Saban has not been in that he didn't win.
As a head coach that he didn't win. He won one at UCLA. I'm sorry, one at LSU, and he won three at Alabama.
Just the way you said it kind of threw me off there.
It was too long, wasn't it?
I really can't even think about the way you said it. Because let's rerun this.
It was too wordy, wasn't it?
No, that he's not been in. You said.
I don't know.
I'm confused now. So let's go on. What do you have Auburn at? Well, we got a break.
We got to take
real
a
quick.
Break.
What do you have Auburn at? We'll come back with Dan.
The only game I have them going to the Sugar Bowl like Alabama did last year.
All right.
They're going to lose to Bama.
We know better than that. We'll be right back with Dan Vosta on the line. Sports Talk Live.
Men, no shaving proposition beats this. Listen. There's $1 cash, says Colgate Brushless, wins you in a flash. Yes, $1 cash says this is it for the clean, smooth, comfortable shaves you've always wanted. And here's why.
Because it's light and fine textured, Colgate Brushless completely surrounds, softens, and supports each bristle better than greasy, heavy creams. There's no matting down. There is no clogging. Your razor doesn't skid or skip when you use Colgate Brushless. Instead, it cuts through clean and smooth.
Try Colgate Brushless. See how it does away with razor scrape and soreness. Discover how slick and smooth and downright comfortable it makes your shave.
Get a large or giant-sized tube or jar of Colgate Brushless Shaving Cream. If 1 week's use doesn't win you completely, just send me back the carton top and we'll mail you your dollar. Address, Bill Stern, care of Colgate, Jersey City, Zone 2, New Jersey. Remember, there's $1 cash as Colgate Brushless wins you in a flash. Real fine.
Not so many years ago, tomato soup and cream of tomato were unusual dishes, enjoyed very much, but not very often. Today, of all the soups in the world, tomato soup is the one most often served. Not because women have taken to making tomato soup frequently. No, on the contrary, few housewives ever attempt it anymore. There's just one reason for tomato soup's popularity, and it is this. The magic, matchless flavor of Campbell's tomato soup. There's a lively verve, a dashing zest about this flavor that people take to at once and come back to and enjoy again and again. The first racy taste of it has a way of arousing a desire to eat, and yet there's a pleasant feeling of satisfaction when the last spoonful is gone. So this soup is a happy choice for the main dish at lunchtime or at supper, and it also is a fine way to start the day's main meal. Serve it sometimes, too, as cream of tomato, made with milk instead of water. You can always be sure that it will be received with pleasure. Because this, of all soups, is the one people like to have most often. Campbell's Tomato Soup.
In every Chevrolet showroom across America, more and more people are looking at the car that's just out and just wonderful. The 1957 Chevrolet. Some are looking at Chevrolet's daring new front-end styling. The bold new grille. Big, beautiful sloping hood. Some are looking at Chevy's handsome new rear end with high fashion fenders and fresh new design. Everyone's enthused about the new color-fashioned interiors and the sleek command post instrument panel. And the biggest news of all, Chevrolet's fuel injection. The greatest engine advance since the overhead valve. Plus, four famous drives topped by new exclusive Turbo Glide that brings you triple turbine takeoff and a new flowing kind of going. So visit your Chevrolet dealers soon. See the car that goes them all one better. Number one in the USA, the 57 Chevrolet.
.538 Sports Talk Live, and just as we promised you, Dan Vosta is joining us. Dan, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Hey.
Thanks for having me on. I can't believe, no problem, can't believe we're just, 2 days away from kickoff. Amazing.
Man, it is right on us, and we're going to be enjoying ourselves over at Grumpy's Thursday night, and so we appreciate you joining us on a Tuesday.
You got it.
Hey, Dan, to get us started, just tell us maybe your top two or three matchups for this weekend, and while you're at it, go ahead and tell us who you think is going to win those matchups.
Yeah, certainly. I think one of the matchups everybody's interested in is certainly the defending national champs of Florida State and Oklahoma State. I think the Noles ultimately may roll the Cowboys due to having maybe the best talent in America, but playing in the backyard, per se, of Oklahoma State, the game's being played in Cowboys Stadium, where many people feel Florida State will end up playing the final game of the college football season, where it really matters for all the marbles in the national title game. But I think Tyreek Hill's a guy to look out for Oklahoma State. He's a must-watch player. He can line up in the backfield as a running back and nightmare mismatch as a slot receiver. I think while the main problem for the Cowboys will be slowing down Jameis Winston in that offense that just set a record-setting season for points, I think the Noles secondary is the best in college football. And good luck moving the ball against those dudes, Jalen Ramsey, P.J. Williams, Ronald Darby, Nate Andrews. They're loaded in the secondary. I think two or three guys will be starting on Sundays in a few years. So I got the Noles in that one, 41-17, I think. But that's a big-time game for Florida State to start out rolling. Because if they were to struggle, that could be some big-time headlines. And then my final two quickly, I think, LSU, Wisconsin, an electric atmosphere, I think, despite not playing on the college campus, home of the Houston Texans. But I think that's arguably because, in terms of a game, LSU, Wisconsin, you might not find two better teams combined with maybe better tailgating teams and fan bases in America. And so I think the SEC schools can make a good case for that, but helps to have LSU and Wisconsin not too shabby. I think I love both squads in terms of the running offenses. Many people love, obviously, the Wisconsin running game with Melvin Gordon, the third and All-American. Many people have him as a top three running back in the nation. And Corey Clement is also a superstar potential back in a few years. He's a backup right now behind MG3. And I think LSU's three-headed monster in terms of Leonard Fournette, Terrence McGee, Kenny Hilliard will really own, I think, this matchup in the second half. And many people are really looking forward to seeing whether it will be Brandon Harris, or who's a true freshman, by the way, of course, or Anthony Jennings. Les says he's going to play both, Les Miles, but I still love Brandon Harris to come out victorious in that quarterback battle, per se. Maybe he won't get the first series, but I think Brandon Harris and that speed option in the shotgun in the zone offense, I think, will be too much. And I like LSU 27-14, but it will be a very competitive game. And lastly, the game I'm really looking forward to, I think the top five, top ten game of the year, Georgia hosting Clemson. I have both teams ending the season in one of the premier bowl games that the college football committee, playoff committee, will be choosing from. I think without Justin Scott Wesley, who of course is out due to suspension, and Malcolm Mitchell, unfortunately, is still out with another knee injury he suffered during the offseason in summer workouts. But I still believe Chris Conley, who's a big fan of Star Wars, if you haven't noticed, Michael Bennett, a very solid receiver for Georgia. I think Hudson Mason, with Jay Rome at tight end, I think Hudson Mason could have a big-time year. And maybe that, I think that's due to having, I think, the best player in college football, despite Winston winning the Heisman. I think when healthy, which is always the key, Todd Gurley, the best player in college football, I think he'll go bonkers against a top-15 defense in Clemson. I think they got a lot of bulk up front, athletic enough of a secondary to pose a threat. But I like Georgia at home in my game of the week, 35-24, which will be a very entertaining game.
Okay, that sounds good, Dan, and I kind of agree with you on that one. I don't see anywhere I would differ, and Ronnie is saying, yeah, that he agrees with that also.
I definitely agree with you, Dan, when you're talking about Gurley being the best college and best player in college football. I think he's hands down the best player.
Hey, Dan.
Yes.
In our state, a lot of interest. Auburn, Arkansas, Alabama, West Virginia. We feel pretty confident that Auburn will win the game and Alabama will win their game. Does Auburn cover the 20.5-point spread, and does Alabama cover the 26-point spread against West Virginia?
Yeah, I think it's two very interesting games, obviously. Much-watched teams. I think Auburn is going to be very interesting to see. We know that Jeremy Johnson will be starting over Nick Marshall, but we don't know how soon Nick Marshall will enter the game. Maybe if Jeremy Johnson has success and leads to some points, maybe he'll get a second possession. But some people may think that's crazy because many people feel Nick Marshall's the best returning quarterback in the SEC. And I think that could be a minor factor at the very least, because Jonathan Williams and Alex Collins are maybe among the top 5 1-2 punches in the backfield, not just in the SEC guys, but maybe in the country. And I think they're going to limit possessions, limit the fireworks of Auburn that has, you know, been the last year with Gus Malzahn's offense. I think this will be a fairly low-scoring game in the first half. Nick Marshall can't get any rhythm with his offense. Certainly, Auburn will have no problems tacking it on in the second half, but I like a 31-21 type of game. Maybe it's a late garbage touchdown by Arkansas, but I'm liking their chances of covering that three touchdown spread per se, but certainly War Eagle will prevail in this one, just too much talent on both sides of the ball. But I think they won't have too many possessions in the first half, but they'll prevail in the second half, but they will not cover that three touchdown spread. And then you mentioned Alabama, West Virginia. I think you got almost four touchdown spread there. I think that's quite a bit, but guess what? Alabama's been favored for over 50-plus games, and I actually don't think West Virginia scores a touchdown in this one. I think Alabama flexes its muscles. Not sure it's a bold statement, but I'll give you a touchdown for every running back in the backfield. So T.J. Yeldon's going to catch one rushing, one receiving. Derrick Henry's going to run in. I think Kenyon Drake's going to run in, and it's not in the first half, definitely in the second half. So I'm looking at like a 38-6 type of game. Clint Trickett reminds me of the old Mike Tyson punch-out video game. I believe his name was Max. Maybe I'm wrong, but he's been getting punched out by Mike Tyson, and Mike Tyson's Alabama. So this could be a slugfest big time in the favor of Alabama. They may score on defense and or special teams, similar to what we saw last year's opener against Virginia Tech, where I think West Virginia in this case will really struggle to get in the red zone, and once they do, they'll find less difficult to score 6 points in a touchdown.
I agree with that, Dan, but you were mentioned briefly there about Arkansas and the two backs they have. I wouldn't be surprised at all if both those guys don't have, close to 1,000 yards for this season. And people just don't know about Arkansas or about those two running backs. Of course, they were terrible last year, but those two guys are good, really good.
Yes, they're studs. I mean, they're going to be NFL players, and if they can stay healthy, they're going to, I think, give Arkansas, which is a big, big plus for me, because last year they were really blown out in essentially all their games for the most part. And I think if they don't win one game in the SEC this year, I think they're going to scare at least maybe a couple, at least. I think they can easily win one game in the SEC, which can be tough because the SEC West is better than it's ever been. But I think those two guys at least will put up a fight for their opener against Auburn.
Yeah, I agree with that, Dan. Hey, got a couple more questions here for you. Of the teams that are in the top 10, who do you think could start out 0-2?
Yeah, I think great question. There's always, every year, there's always a team that really struggles in September and never really gets it going. I think South Carolina is that team for me, guys. I think I still have an issue. They kicked off their season flawless in September. I would be shocked if they can get through September undefeated. But in terms of the first two games, I think they should stick out and go 2-0. But Texas A&M is going to put some points on the board against them. And I think the next game, the game where people are really going to forget, because everybody's amped for this, opening kickoff. It's the game of the year in terms of the first game of the year, excuse me. And I think that's going to be a very entertaining game. But I think East Carolina comes into South Carolina and gives them everything they can handle. I think Shane Harden and Justin Hardy are two guys that many people, maybe in SEC territory, have not heard. But Justin Hardy is going to break Ryan Broyles' record of Oklahoma for most catches in FBS history this season. So he's been getting some comparison guys, actually Michael Crabtree, at the next level. So I think East Carolina will put some points on the board. I wouldn't be stunned, actually, if they beat South Carolina, but because it's in Bryce Williams Stadium and because they technically have the winningest streak, home streak, that is, in college football, I'll give South Carolina the edge there over a team, say, like Georgia, who opens up in terms of their first two games at home against Clemson. Then they have to go to South Carolina. But I think, worst case, Georgia splits that. And as you know, guys, I've got a little maybe man crush, or I'm drinking the Georgia Kool-Aid this year in the SEC. So I'm a little wary, though, of South Carolina, because we've seen teams that can throw the ball around, which ECU does, can give sometimes this ECU SEC team rather some fits.
I agree. And it seems like the more and closer college football season gets here, the more and more talk I hear about Georgia. Everywhere you look, whether it's on the internet or you're listening to radio talk shows, Georgia's getting a lot of love out there.
Yeah, I'm a little stunned. I thought they would start the season outside the top 10, but to me, it's just the injury bug really crushed them last year. I think they could have won that game against Clemson, and if Aaron Murray could have stayed healthy in the season, you're looking at a team 2 years ago, guys, they came so close and should have probably beaten, woulda, shoulda, coulda, beat Alabama deservedly. They deserve that national championship. But remember, Georgia came all the way down to the 10-yard line,
right,
and came very close to beating Alabama. Could have been then destroying Notre Dame. And I think that team this year reminds you of the team 2 years ago. So So I think they're, at the worst case, they'll get very close again to compete for national championship. And it's going to be a wild ride, and certainly in the SEC. But it helps to be in the East, of course, as opposed to the West. And Georgia, a big advantage. Getting a favorable schedule this year.
That's for sure. Hey, Dan, you know, everybody or most fans love to see, you know, college football games when there's a tremendous amount of scoring that's taking place. So, hey, give us who you think's going to really light the board up the first week. And then on top of that, tell us how many you think they're going to score.
Yeah, certainly. I think Florida State, Oklahoma State catches my eyes or catches me a little bit just because I think Florida State could maybe put up 40-plus. I had that, about a 41-17.
That's right.
Game. So, I mean, you're looking at, you know, almost 60 points, just shy of that. But the game, for me, I think it's almost an easy one, at least in terms of week one for most points. I'll take over 80 points. I like Baylor putting up a 50-burger on Sunday night at home against SMU. I'm looking at, like, a 52-21 game, so 73 points, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe throw another touchdown. You're looking at close to 80 points in that game, so I wouldn't be surprised. Remember, Baylor scored, it seemed like, 100 points against Buffalo and pretty much every opponent they played in September. While it really wasn't any relevant teams, it was still fun for America to watch the highlights if they weren't watching the butt-whipping live. And I think Baylor can do that again against a somewhat respectable SMU team that should be 500 for a bowl team, bowl game. But I think Baylor is looking at potentially 10-plus wins again. So I think 80 points in that one. I think Baylor scores 50-plus, and which should be the highest-scoring game of the weekend.
Hey, that'll be a lot of fun on a Sunday night with not a lot going on before the NFL, so I will be tuned to that one. Dan, I know you're swamped with work, and I'm going to ask you one more question before we let you go.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the Final Four, the playoff teams, and you give us your Final Four. Now it's time to get it down to one. So who do you see winning it all at the end of the year?
Yes, I think that's everybody's. Some people have some similar teams. I got Florida State, Georgia, UCLA, and Alabama, of course, now replacing Ohio State in the Braxton Miller list, Buckeyes. So give me Florida State and Georgia in the national championship. And I'm going to go with the Noles repeating, which I think it, if they were in an SEC conference, it would be tough to keep that depth and fresh and healthy. Because they play in the so-called mediocre HC, which should be a top four conference in America, but nowhere near the SEC or let alone Pac-12. So I'm going to go with Florida State over Georgia. I think those two teams, in my opinion, guys, have the best two running backs in college football. And no disrespect to Melvin Gordon, who runs behind a great Wisconsin offensive line. I love Carlos Williams, and certainly he was just a defensive back a few years ago. But I think him and, of course, Todd Gurley, those are my two running backs to watch this season. I think both front sevens on the defensive side of the ball are absolutely jacked. They're loaded. Filthy talent, I think, will play in the next level, obviously. And they return the majority of their offensive players. Florida State had pretty much everybody back outside of Kelvin Benjamin and Kenny Shaw. And Georgia pretty much returns everybody except that guy named Aaron Murray, who set every SEC record team to lead. But Hudson Mason has a lot of talent at his disposal, and that's why I give him the fight of edges over a team like UCLA and, of course, Alabama. But I have Florida State over Georgia as my national championship, and I'm sticking to it at least until at least the first few weeks and see if
there
any injuries or see. That's why they play the games, as they say.
Hey, that's it, Dan. The only thing, I want to see my Tigers back in and see a repeat of last year's national championship with Florida State and Auburn. I'm going to keep pulling that way. So.
And 13 less seconds.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, Dan, we can't tell you how much we appreciate you joining us, last-minute change and joining us on a Tuesday, and enjoy some ball games, man. We really appreciate it.
Likewise. Thanks for having me on. See you guys next Thursday.
We'll talk to you next week.
Enjoy the game.
Yeah, thanks, Dan.
You got it. Take care. Thanks, guys.
Oh, yeah. Dan Vosta joining us, and you heard it. Florida State repeats. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back and wrap this up for a Tuesday.
Hello, boys and girls. It's me, the Frito Bandido. You know what I heard about you? I heard you want to be a Frito Bandido like me. You do? Then you must sing the Bandido song. Let's sing together. You just follow the bouncing Frito's corn chips bag. Ay, 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 ay.
I am the Frito Bandito. Hey, I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Now, boys and girls, you are Frito Bandidos, too. You sing the Frito Bandito song, and you look for crunchy Fritos corn chips.
That's nice.
Munch, munch, munchy, munchy Fritos corn chips. Munch, munchy, munchy Fritos corn chips.
Even if you brush in a rush, Brisk fluoride toothpaste starts instant action against tooth decay. Brisk, B-R-I-S-K, Brisk.
When you are late and in a rush to clean your teeth, do you really brush or do you just brush in a rush? Brisk helps protect you from decay, starts instant action right away. Even if you brush in a rush, Brisk fluoride toothpaste.
You should brush your teeth thoroughly, but when you have to, brush in a rush. Brisk fluoride toothpaste starts instant action against tooth decay. Helps strengthen tooth enamel on contact. Instantly destroys most bacteria that cause mouth odor and decay.
Even if you brush in a rush, Brisk fluoride toothpaste.
Hi, 55, and it's time to start wrapping it up for the Tuesday, getting ready to head to Grumpy's on Thursday and Runny. Before we get into that, tell everybody about the ESPN Pick'em.
Yeah, we have our own group that's set up there. We want people to join in and play with us. Just go to ESPN over on the right-hand side, click on Fantasy and Games, scroll down to where it says College You Pick'em. Click on that box, and then you will see Sports Talk Live 95.5. Click that. Go through and pick your teams. You don't have to know anything. ESPN's already put 10 games on there, and you just pick who you think's going to win or win and lose. And, you know, you accumulate points. And then at the end of the season, certainly we'll have a overall reward or award for the overall winner. And we'll try to do some things, you know, along during the for weekly winners as well. So tell everybody you know to go on Facebook. If you don't have an account set up, set one up. It's easy. It doesn't cost you a dime. But we want a lot of people, you know, to play in our group on the College You Pick 'em.
Right. The more we have, the more fun it'll be for everyone. And again, let's talk about Grumpy's Thursday night. We'll be there from 4 to 7. Might hang around a little later than that, playing cornhole. A lot of things going on. Randy, there's going to be a ton of stuff given away Thursday night.
Yeah, I know you mentioned earlier that you had a truck bring a bunch of stuff by to give away. Lots of different giveaways, some good giveaways. We'll play some trivia, you know, to get some so you can win some prizes. Where's Moolah? We'll be back again for clues there. So potentially you could, you know, win some money from Where's Moolah as well.
A lot of things going on. In the meantime, check us out, our website, ColemanSportsTalk.com, on Facebook, Sports Talk Live, Twitter, if you've got a Twitter account, at Coleman Sports, and check out Live 95. The show will be on demand about 30 minutes after the show, I think, Ronnie. So.
Yeah, that's right. And you can, you know, if you don't know the address, you can't remember it, I'm telling you, you can just go to a search engine, type in 95.5 Live Coleman, and it'll take you there. It'll take you to that search. It'll take you to the website where you need to go. Click on it, open it up, and go down and listen to any shows that you might want to hear.
Hey, I am really looking forward to Thursday night. I think it's going to be a great time.
We need a big crowd.
We're going to have some cornhole players coming out. I know for a fact it's going to be there, so the cornhole competition will be there. So if you've ever thrown a bag, come out. Ronnie will be throwing for the first time.
I've never played. I don't know anything about it. So, and hey, maybe, you know, as you mentioned, maybe we'll have a lot of people that want to play. We might get up a little tournament possibly, or if not that, just play, you know, just for the fun of playing.
And that's right. We have talked to Grumpy's, met with him the other day for lunch, and if this turns out well for everyone, it could become a regular event. So, folks, if you want something to do on a Thursday night, come out and support this, and maybe we can make it into a regular thing. And
watch some college football.
That's right.
Texas A&M, South Carolina. And that screen, it may be the It's got to be the biggest screen in Coleman County.
Oh, yeah, no
it
doubt about
huge.
It.
It is huge.
No doubt about it. And the worst-case scenario, you get some entertainment, some laughs, and
that's
a
right.
meal. Best case, you walk away with some cash.
And some
prizes. And you've spent the night playing cornhole or something and maybe see us get wet. So,
yeah.
Hey, it's going to be a good night.
The ice bucket challenge is out there. So, you know, we'll see how that goes.
Right. And again, wear something. And folks, you know who you are, Eddie, Tally. Wear something you don't mind getting wet in, because I promise you, if we go down in the ice, somebody's got to go with us.
We're not going down in the we're not going down in the ship by ourselves, are we?
And Jay, that goes for you too. What would it be without the owner of the station?
Well, I think you know the leader. We got to follow the follow the lead. So you know that's just what we're going to do.
Hey, he's going to get us off of here, folks. Don't forget, Thursday, 4 to 7 at Grumpy's. Until then,
yeah.
War Eagle.
And Roll Tide.
We'll see you then.
Another one bites the dust. Told you I was gonna get you. Another one bites the dust, yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust, yeah.
Live 95, WRKM-LP, Coleman.
Lying in the park on a beautiful day, sunshine in the grass, and the children play. Sirens passing, fire engine red. Someone's house is burning down on a day like this.